Good afternoon. I'm Madonna Guy, and this is The Natural Alternative. Welcome. So, I've got a couple of things to cover today. I've got some information about codecs. Now, I've known this about codecs for a long time, and this is a really old discussion by a doctor who basically shows how it all started and what it means for our food supply. I'm then going to go into a place on our government website where they show us what is being released aerially here in Australia along the lines of vaccinations and things. And then I'm also going to show some other information about toxicity. So let's get into Dr. Rima.
And let me assure you that absolutely nothing that I'm going to tell you is exaggerated, is interpolated, or is imagined. Everything I'm going to tell you is documented. And it's a great deal of it is documented on my website, which is www.healthfreedomusa, one word, healthfreedomusa.org. And so they created a trade commission. That's a very important pair of words, a trade commission called the Codex Alimentarius Commission. It is not a public health commission. It is not a consumer protection commission. It is a trade commission. Now, Codex Alimentarius Commission is administered by the World Health Organization, WHO, and the FAO, the Food and Agriculture Organization. They fund Codex and they run it at the request of the UN. In 1994, Codex, with no notice here in this country whatsoever, declared nutrients, put on your intellectual seatbelts, declared nutrients to be toxins. They're poisons, dangerous industrial poisons. As poisons, we have to be protected from them. What we're talking about is waking up one morning and being very surprised to find that high potency, therapeutically effective, clinically significant nutrients are now illegal in the way that heroin is illegal. Not available with a prescription, illegal. Every animal used for food on the planet, whether it has fins, feet, or feathers, every animal on the planet must be treated with subclinical antibiotics. Must be treated with subclinical antibiotics and must be treated with exogenous growth hormones. Codex requires, mandates that all food be irradiated unless it's eaten locally and raw. All food, including organic food, of course. So is it organic afterwards? Go to Codex Alimentarius, do a Google search. And look, there are drop-down menus at the top of the official Codex page. Look at the toxins and the veterinary chemicals and the levels that are set. They are terrifying. In 2001, 176 countries, including the United States, got together and they said there are 12 really bad organic chemicals. They're called POPs, persistent organic pollutants. There are a lot of them, but there are 12 that are so bad that nobody could disagree that those 12 POPs had to be banned worldwide.
Before she goes on, just let me say about POPs, persistent organic pollutants, because I was at a seminar many years ago and they were looking at diabetes and they were trying to find out whether it was just genetic, whether there were more components to it. So what they did was looked at two groups of diabetics. One where they believed it was in the genes, that the people in the family, all had that genetic predisposition to diabetes. Now we know that like 98% of our genes can be flipped by dietary lifestyles, by environmental toxins, by stress, by trauma, by PTSD, by childhood abuse. So they looked at two groups, one group where they thought that it was predominantly going to be a genetic issue with diabetes, and then they looked at another group where they didn't believe. So for a start, they didn't find that was true in most cases. And they also had them differentiated between those who were underweight or quite lean, those who were just sort of a bit overweight, and then those people who were obese. And once again, they looked at the genetics, and they once again they didn't find being obese was in the higher category more likely to get diabetes, but it wasn't the determining factor. What they actually looked at was the amount of POPs, the persistent organic poisons that stay in people's fat cells. Now, fat is an insulator, but what was interesting, it did not matter whether the people were underweight or whether they were obese. It was the percentage of POPs in the fat tissue that determined their likelihood to develop diabetes as they got older. So isn't that interesting? So, and now what she's about to say is that since then, Codex has allowed 9 out of those 12 that they said were the worst ones on the planet to come back into our food supply.
Has brought back seven,
Oh, seven, sorry.
seven of the nine
Oh,
forbidden
7 out of 9.
POPs that 176 countries banned worldwide. Dieldrin, aldrin, hexachlorobenzene, and the food that is imported from other countries that contains these substances cannot be stopped at our borders. Because otherwise, it would be, God forbid, a trade violation. That's how Codex works. In the WHO FAO projections, the epidemiological projections, they estimate, not I, they estimate, they're the experts, that just the vitamin and mineral guideline alone. When it goes into global implementation on December 31st, 2009, will result in a minimum of 3 billion, that's B, bad, big, billion deaths, 1 billion through simple starvation. Those folks who die are not particularly economically successful from the point of view of the corporations. But the next 2 billion, they will die from the preventable diseases of undernutrition. Who will live? Probably those people who are wealthy enough and powerful enough to have their own pushers of clean food and nutrients. That's who will live. You and I? Probably not. Our children? Probably not. Our grandchildren?
I think this is what is terrifying me is that I've been in this industry for 27 years, and I've been saying to people the last couple of years, it's getting harder and harder to treat people. So in the past, if someone had, say, heart issues or diabetes or bones that were weaker than normal, that it didn't take a lot of supplementation to really help to boost people. So that's our food supply. They're forcing subclinical levels of antibiotics and growth hormones into our foods. Now, I want to show you a website here in Australia, and I'm sure there's one of these little websites everywhere in the world, and this is about what they are dumping from the skies. So let's go and have a look at that. Okay, so you'll see here, this is the Australian Government Department of Health and Aged Care. The Office of Gene Technology Regulator. Now, I heard our Senator Gerard Rennick mention this office a few months ago when he was talking about how these mRNA gene technologies that are masquerading as vaccines, how they're affecting people's genes. And they were saying, no. And because this particular department has had nothing whatsoever to do with the vaccine regulation, and the TGA, who's our Therapeutic Goods Administration, they've just waved in all of the vaccines into Australia, trusting what the Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, and Novavax press releases have basically said. So have a look. There's 193 things on here. Now you'll see over here, some of them say application under evaluation. So, that's a vaccine for chickens. This is a, and these are intentional release. So how are they going to intentionally release them? This one here, another one, genetically modified chimeric orthopox virus as a cancer treatment under evaluation. So let's go down to some that are current. So don't care about that, don't care about that. Some of these I've got no idea what they're about, but some of them are quite interesting, like this one. Clinical trial with a genetically modified Bordetella pertussis for the prevention of whooping cough. Now, I regularly see whooping cough when I am doing bioresonance with people. So isn't that interesting that you find out that that is current? Issued on the 8th of December, 2021. It says limited and controlled, but who knows what that means. Check out the next one. Approved on the 25th of June, 2021. Clinical trial with a genetically modified human adenovirus COVID-19 vaccine by Advanced Clinical Proprietary Limited, medical, limited and control, approved over a year ago, it is current. Look at the next one. Clinical trial with genetically modified E. coli to reduce antibiotic resistance. Isn't that interesting? Advanced Clinical Proprietary Limited, Westmead Institute for Medical Research, limited and controlled, approved 20th of July, 2021. Janssen, that's Johnson & Johnson in America, isn't it? Commercial supply of a genetically modified COVID-19 vaccine, approved 19th of April, 2021, current. Look at this one, by Novotech Australia Proprietary Limited, clinical trial of a genetically modified herpes virus for the treatment of cystic fibrosis, limited and control, 7th of July, 2021. Here's another one. Commercial supply of a genetically modified COVID-19 vaccine by AstraZeneca. Medical, commercial, 8th of February, 2021. Here's another one. Clinical trial with a genetically modified vaccinia virus-based treatment for solid cancerous tumors. Novotech, Australia Proprietary Limited, limited and controlled released. Approved on the 14th of April, 2021. What the hell have they been doing while they're, are they passing all of these under this emergency use authorization? Is there no one discussing this? Is everyone okay with having all this stuff pumped at us from the skies above? It absolutely blows my mind. There's 193 of these. Here's one for bladder cancer, another human adenovirus. Once again, adenoviruses are showing up all the time in the bioresonance that I do. You've got all sorts of things in here. Here's another cholera vaccine, current, approved 17th of February, 2021. Cholera vaccine by Vaxchora. So as you can see, oh, here's another one. Clinical trial of genetically modified influenza vaccine. What the frickin' hell has gone on with our immune systems the last year, people? Like, is everyone you know vaxxed or unvaxxed, jabbed or unjabbed, mRNA'd or non-mRNA'd? Everyone I know is getting worse illness this year than any other year in 25 years I've been doing this. Now, as I look at these, I don't think that it's going to be just the jabs. So this is just another part to the puzzle, another part to the puzzle as to why we're all so unhealthy this year. So another thing I want to share with you, just hold your little britches, but there's 193 of these. That's just a little sample. Anyway, so just once again, where to find it? Australian Government, Department of Health and Aged Care, but I just typed in Australian Government dealings involving intentional release, and it's there for all the world to see. So let's go on to the next thing I want to share with you.
Is that it might be related to the J&J vaccine, where, you know, they use what's called an adenovirus vector, and there was always a theoretical risk of that vector mutating and possibly with an adenovirus and causing a new strain.
Okay, so here I want to share a little bit with Pierre Corey and Dr. Malik and just what they're saying about how it's affecting our immune system. Things like cancers going through the roof, things like immune system, our innate immune system disappearing. Last week I shared a podcast where it was talking about the innate immune system of the heart being affected by the spike proteins. So we know that the spike proteins are dangerous and damaging to some people. Why it's not everyone, no one knows. No one knows how many placebos we got. No one knows what really is going to be the long-term effects. But I'll just listen to these guys for about 5 minutes. So have a listen. They're just phenomenal. These guys started the FLCCC, so the frontline coronavirus dudes. So anyway, have a listen.
We're learning a lot of medicine that we didn't know before, meaning we're exploring lots of compounds and different therapies that have not traditionally been accepted by the modern system, but have a lot of physiologic rationale and some clinical data. And so I know that in oncology, in fact, many of the drugs we're using for COVID have actually shown some efficacy either in vitro or in small case series against cancers. And so, I mean, I'll say that in general, but the cancer data is also being unfortunately suppressed. However, I've talked to a number of oncologists, and they said what you just said, Paul, is that they are seeing rarer cancers in younger people than they've ever seen before. And Ryan Cole, one of our colleagues, who's a pathologist, I mean, he reads biopsies all day long. He knows patterns. He's an expert. He's read over 500,000 biopsies in his career. And he's seeing a pattern. He reported a 20-fold increase in endometrial cancers this year. And so we know, and there's good pathophysiologic basis for why these vaccines would cause cancer, right? Because they're suppressing, they're having effects on the immune system, which normally controls the growth of cancer. And so there's not only innumerable novel and rarer cancers, but there are sort of many testimonies of patients who had relatively stable disease, who then were found to be, you know, progressed to metastatic. And so that's a whole other part of this, you know, epidemic of vaccine injury. But you know, again, like I said, we're not really oncologists, so that part we haven't addressed.
Yeah, so what Pierre says is true. I mean, there's no question of doubt that the spike protein is a profoundly toxic protein. It does all kinds of bad stuff, including it interferes with cancer suppression. So it interferes with the genes regulating cancer. So there's no question of doubt that the spike protein causes an increase in the risk of cancer. The problem is, you know, what do you do about it? How can you get rid of the spike? So this is where it becomes a little bit tricky, because there are people out there who are claiming that there are these spike protein detoxification protocols. So I think one has to be really careful, because I don't think there is such a thing. So, I mean, the spike is a protein, it's within the cell. So probably the best way to get rid of the spike is to help your cells get rid of the spike. And we think there are a number of ways that you can help your immune system degrade the spike and get rid of the spike. So one of the things we recommend, and it may sound quite obtuse and absurd, is intermittent fasting. So there's an extensive body of literature showing the benefit of intermittent fasting, and it's almost a way of cleansing the body of bad proteins. And there is very good scientific data and mechanistic data to support this. So basically what happens is when you fast, it stimulates a process called autophagy and mitophagy. And what autophagy does is it stimulates cells to basically get rid of misfolded proteins, bad proteins, toxic proteins. So it helps the cell to get rid of these proteins. So that's one of the mechanisms that you...
Yeah, and I know lots of people who'll be really happy to do intermittent fasting, but some of the... things that we're not allowed to discuss is this type of things that actually do help people get over this. So there's lots of nutrients with effects such as N-acetylcysteine, glutathione, quercetin, zinc, vitamin C, you know, so bioflavonoids, green juicing, the nutrients like things like activated purified zeolites, bentonite clays, liquid chlorophylls, You know, the fulvic acid, humic acid. So there's so many things that really do help to, and doing baths, bath, bath, bath. You know, bath with a cupful of washing soda, bath with a cupful of Epsom salts, bath with a cupful of apple cider vinegar, bath with a cupful of bicarb soda. You know, so just get in there and just soak these toxins out of your body. And yes, if your mRNA, if you've taken the mRNA Jivity jabs and you're having problems, then you're going to have to really be doing something for the rest of your life, potentially, if your cells are now creating those proteins on a daily basis. So anyway, that's a really great interview to go check out. Love these two guys. They are doctors, obviously, and it's on the Children's Health Defense website, and there's a section called Tea Time. And Tea Time. So episode 37, Repairing a Genocide, Post-Vaccine Syndrome Protocol with Dr. Pierre Corey and Dr. Paul Marek. So now there's one more I want to share with you. So hold your little horses. Now, if you've never heard Dr. Vandana Shiva speak, she is one of these awesome human beings.
Past where they make cash illegal. 2016. Digitalization was forced in the country. 8 o'clock in the evening announced midnight, cash was illegal, the big notes. And 70% of the economy crashed. This digitalization is now going all over the world, and there's a war on cash. They call it war on cash. Because cash is merely a medium of exchange. It has no value in itself. It's just a promise. You read the dollar note, it says, I promise to pay the bill. A, when it's digital, even a credit card, you know, you're giving rents to the global financial system. But when it's cryptocurrency in the hands of algorithms, in the hands of big tech, they will do what is happening in China. Create social credit system to decide a new caste system. And you might have also followed that while all this has been happening, the founder of the World Economic Forum did a book called The Great Reset on how to deal with the COVID crisis. And one of, and all, everything we're seeing unfold is part of that Great Reset. But an element of that Great Reset is you will own nothing. Now, I'm a believer in the commons. And it would be so good if all land was a commons, if all seed was a commons, if food was a commons, if health was a commons, so that we had strong public health systems, strong community health systems, deep knowledge about being healthy. But when Paul Schwab says, you will own nothing, he said, we'll own it all. That's why you have debts, not just owning the seed, wanting to own our food, one, of course, controls the health, and now owning land. This, if any, if ever there was a time for humanity to wake up, now is the time.
So isn't she just the most beautiful human being on the planet? I love her. So there's been several interviews of her with Russell Brand. So you can go look those up. She's just a dynamo. She absolutely knows her stuff. She knows what's going on the planet. She doesn't put up with the shenanigans. You know, she is absolutely willing to say how it is. And because she sees so much going on in India, she says if Bill Gates gets his hand on the seed in India, and I'm sure you know about Monsanto and everything they're doing, so go back to that codex, you know, back since 1995 to 2005, they've been doing this, manipulating our seeds. So our seeds themselves in genetic modification can have antibiotics in them. So as the plants grow and then create the fruit or vegetables or food we're eating, they have antibiotics, and then we eat them, it goes down into our gut, destroys our microbiome. So only the infections that are the most hardy thrive and survive in our guts. So what we're eating every day is causing our microbiome in our gut to basically, we're creating our microbiome every time we think, every time we eat, every time we feel. So that's all I've got time for today. I'm going to go get some sunshine. It is such an absolutely spectacular day. So I just wanted to finish with this thought. So this was an opinion piece in our Australian newspaper. If COVID was a battlefield, it would still be warm with the bodies of the unvaccinated. Thankfully, the mandates are letting up and both sides of the war stumble back to the new normal. The unvaccinated are the heroes of the last 2 years as they allowed us to all have a control group in the great experiment and highlight the shortcoming of the COVID vaccines. The unvaccinated carry many battle scars and injuries and are the people we tried to mentally break, yet no one wants to talk about what we did to them and what they forced the science to unveil. We knew that the waning immunity of the fully vaccinated had the same risk profile as others within society as the minority of the unvaccinated, yet we marked them for special persecution. You see, we said they had not done the right thing for the greater good by handing their bodies and medical autonomy over to the state. Many of the so-called health experts and political leaders in Australia admitted the goal was to make life almost unlivable for the unvaccinated, which was multiplied many times by the collective mob, with the fight taken into workplaces, friendships, and family gatherings. Today, the hard truth is none of it was justified as we took a quick slide from righteousness to absolute cruelty. We might lay the blame on our leaders and health experts for the push, but each individual within society must be held accountable for stepping into the well-laid-out trap. We did this despite knowing full well that principled opposition is priceless when it comes to going on what goes inside our body, and we let ourselves be tricked into believing that going into another ineffective lockdown would be the fault of the unvaccinated and not the fault of the toxic policy of ineffective vaccines. We took pleasure in scapegoating the unvaccinated because after months of engineered lockdowns by political leaders blinded by power, having someone to blame and to burn at the stake felt good. We believed we had logic, love, and truth on our side, so it was easy to wish death upon the unvaccinated. Those of us who ridiculed and mocked the non-compliant did it because we were embarrassed by their courage and principles and didn't think the unvaccinated would make it through unbroken, and we turned the holdouts into punching bags. Lambie, Carr, Chant, Andrews, McGowan, Gunner, and the other cast of hundreds in the prominent roles need to be held to account for vilifying the unvaccinated in public and fueling angry social media mobs. The mobs, the mask Nazis, and the vaccine disciples have been embarrassed by betting against the unvaccinated because the mandates only had the power we gave them. It was not compliance that ended domination by big pharma companies, Bill Gates and his many organizations, and the World Economic Forum. It was thanks to the people we tried to embarrass, ridicule, mock, and tear down. We should all try and find some inner gratitude for the unvaccinated as we took the bait by hating them because their perseverance and courage brought us the time to see we were wrong. So if mandates ever return for COVID or any other disease or virus, hopefully more of us will be awake and see the rising authoritarianism that has no concern for our well-being and is more about power and control. The war on the unvaccinated was lost, and we should all be very thankful for that. Every day I speak to clients who have damaged family and friends by this vaccine rollout. And just about every day I talk to people where there's fighting in the family, where the unvaccinated are not allowed to go to parties, to funerals, to weddings, even though the mandates are not still upon us. So it's been an awful time on the planet with people picking on one another, and the only way moving forward is to have kindness and love in our hearts for everyone, because everyone will have made the best decision they could have at the time. But it's time to start really working together as a community again. So I hope those little bits of information were interesting for you today. Take care, blessings, and have a lovely rest of your day.